of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. And I had named this message earlier, but for the sake of our technical group, I want to rename the message Ulterior Motives. Ulterior Motives. The word ulterior just means that your real reason is being hidden and you put another reason in front. It means you have a true motivation, but you're not showing that motivation. You're showing something else and you're hiding the true motivation. And we as human beings, because of the fall, we are very selfish and self-centered. How many can admit it this morning? Selfish and self-centered, that's me. And it's easy for us to have ulterior motives. They come very naturally. We don't have to sit down and make out a plan. It just easily comes to us. And if we don't war against it, if we don't guard against it, we'll end up with ulterior motives in our lives. Here in the book of John, beginning with verse 35, this is the introduction of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. Verse 35, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" Let's pray. Father, we just acknowledge you this morning, Lord, realizing that nothing can be done here except your Holy Spirit anoint and inspire. And so I ask you, Lord, to use this vessel, take control of my faculties, open the hearts and the ears of your people, O God, that we might receive this engrafted word and that it might make changes in the way that we move with you. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and we ask you to bless the offering that we'll be receiving today here in the worship room, all across the online experience, that you would minister, O God, to the needs of those that support the kingdom of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. According to Mark, these are the first words that Jesus spoke during his public ministry. They were a question. He turned, he saw these two disciples of John following him. He realized they were followers. He realized they were legitimately following him. And yet he turned and he asked the question, "What seek ye?" It means, what do you want? What are you looking for? What is it that you are seeking after? Now, it's important to realize that this is a question that went across Jesus' heart back then. I think he would ask all of us here today, what are you seeking? What is it that you want? And it's a question that we should ask ourselves when we approach God, what am I seeking? Because many times we can find ourselves, if you don't think through what you're doing, seeking God for all of the wrong reasons. I've been walking with the Lord 38 years now, and I will admit, probably the first decade and a half, I didn't realize what I'm going to minister to you today. This is more mature stuff that I'm going to give you today. Because it's very easy for us to follow him for the loaves and the fish. It's very easy for us. He's a blesser. The whole universe belongs to him. He's happy to bless us. He's happy to heal us. He's happy to do all of the things that we too want him to do. But is that why we're seeking him? Or do we truly want a relationship with him? With him. You see, Moses one time, not Moses. Yes, it was Abraham. He went after several kings because they had raided Sodom and took his nephew Lot and went off with him. Abraham, he went out and he got them all and brought them back. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "You can have all of the cattle. You can have all of the money. Just give us the people back. You keep all of the blessings." And Abraham said, "No, I'm not keeping any of it." And immediately God came to Abraham and said, "I am your exceeding great reward." You see, you and I, we're not in relationship with his stuff. We are in relationship with him. Hallelujah. The motivation for seeking him should not be his stuff and all of the good blessings he can bestow upon us. He wants to bless us, but that should not be our motivation. And when it is our motivation, as we'll find here today, oftentimes it will cause Jesus to withdraw himself. And hear me close, and I'm going to bring it out of the scripture. He will never leave you and forsake you, but he will step back. He will step back. He still loves you, but he's got to teach you some lessons. In the book of Mark chapter 1, the apostle writes in verse 32, "And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him," that is unto Jesus, "all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and Jesus, he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils. And he suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning," now this means all night long or late into the evening, he's healing and delivering people. "The very next morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee." Now get this. He spent all evening healing people. He spent all evening delivering people. And the next morning, there were more people right at the door. I want my healing. I want my deliverance. I want my blessing. And when they came out, Peter and those who were with them, they was really somewhat rebuking Jesus. "Well, what are you doing? Everybody's looking for you, and you're out here fiddling around in prayer." And Jesus said unto them, "Let us go to the next town, that I might preach there also. For therefore came I forth." In other words, he had all of these people. They were coming and seeking Jesus for a healing. They were not coming seeking Jesus. If Buddha had had the healing, they would have came to him. If one of the Hindu gods had had the healing, they would have went to them. And so Jesus, he went to the next town to share truth with them. Here's what Jesus wants you to have. He wants you to have truth. He wants you to have truth. We can tell our physical bodies are the priority with us. If you look at the salaries of preachers, the average preacher across the nation, not just the mega ministers, you got preachers out there, got five people in the church working a full-time job, still trying to give God's people the bread of life. But if you look at the average preacher, it is one of the lowest paid occupations that you can have. But if you look at the doctor, it's one of the highest paid occupations. That's because we place such a premium on our physical bodies, and we place almost no premium on truth. And although Jesus will heal, he will bless, he will give you the desires of your heart, those are peripheral matters. Those are outliers in terms of what he wants you to have. He wants you primarily to receive him for who he is so that he can put truth in your life. Are you with me today? You don't find that many Christians that enter into their private dedication, say, "God, I need you. I want to know who you are. I want to better understand your character. I want to know the mind of Christ." And no matter how much you may already understand about him, there's always that hunger on the inside. I need to know more about you. But most people feel their prayers, and I will admit it, I probably did it for the first decade of my walk with Christ. "God, I need a new car. Mine is raggedy. I need a house. I need a better house. Lord, I need this, I need that, I need the other." And those things, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He'll give you everything that he has is yours by inheritance. But that's not why we should seek. It should not be the primary reason that we seek him. When I got myself all messed up and I was under an addiction, a crack cocaine addiction, I would seek God to break this addiction. And he left me hanging out there for 7 years. Count them. 1, 2, 3. I'm 7 years. But it wasn't until that I was at the end of my rope that God, I just want you. In 1 second, just like that, the addiction was broken. You see, we have to put our focus on him. Many times, we're not trying to do wrong. We're selfish. By nature, we're self-centered. But let me give you a picture of what it would look like in the natural. Take a man that 5 years ago, he hit the lottery. It was up to $1.2 billion. And so after the IRS got done with him, he had several million left. And it's been a while. He set his house in order. He's got his finances straight. He's got his life stable. And he finally finds a love interest. He finds a young lady that he's very much attracted to. But all her attention is, what kind of car will you buy me? What kind of house will we live in? What kind of purse will I carry? How many diamonds will I have? And she's focused on his stuff and has no concern about him. That's what we do to Jesus Christ sometimes. He will give you the stuff. He doesn't care about that, but he wants your heart. He wants you to know him. And I'll be very blunt with you. Most of us only know about him. We don't know him. We know his history. We know what he did. We know what the Bible says about him, but we don't know him. I think it was maybe, I don't know, close to a decade ago, I suppose, that I started getting interested in who is this one who saved me out of stepping out of a dope house that changed my life. Who is he? He's blessed me with stuff. I have my family. I have my house. I have everything that I want. I need to understand who is he. And I started a search to understand who God is. And as the Queen of Sheba would say, the half of the story has not been told. I was not going to actually do this, but if you have a pencil, write this down. You're going to want this. This is the beginning of finding out, not the beginning. This will take you a long ways into finding out more about him, not just his history. The author's name is A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R. The name of the book is The Knowledge of the Holy. If you do a Google and put PDF in that title, there is a free copy on the internet that you can download and you can read it. A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. When I read, it's a little bitty book, maybe 100 pages. When I read this book, it blew my mind. It made me realize immediately, I don't know him at all. I just know what some of the stuff he did. But when you begin to become interested in the divine essence, who he is, that's where God wants you at. He will always meet all of your need in accordance to his own riches. But he doesn't want you seeking after his own riches. He wants you seeking after him. And so when these people, they were coming, they were just looking for healing. That's all I want. Give me my healing. If he hadn't done that, he would have been strengthening them in their sin. Until he grabs their heart and changes their heart, changes their life. Now, this is not just a one-off. This is over and over. We see this in the scripture. And many times Jesus is walking away from the crowds, is coupled with him going out alone to pray. But he's not just simply leaving because it's prayer time. He's been turned off by the attitude and the mind of the people, and he withdraws himself. The things that we hold of high value have no value to God at all. Who was it? Did we just win the World Series in Texas? The baseball? Jesus doesn't care about that at all. I see athletes all the time, well, we just believe in God. We're going to win this next game. God's not involved in your next game. He don't care about that. You care about that, and you're trying to impose it upon him. But look at, as you're seeking after that, watch your moral life and see, didn't God just do this and you didn't notice? He don't care about basketball. He don't care about football. Oh, it's quiet in here, but I don't care. God has no respect for man's little foolish games when souls are being poured into the pit of hell on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. God don't care about baseball. And many times we seek him for things that are trifling, that should be an embarrassment to us. When we've had the great I Am exposed to us, when we've had the Holy One of Israel exposed to us, and we don't seek after who is this one. They did this, the same mistake when Jesus fed them with the loaves and the fish. Have you read that? Jesus had two small fish and five barley loaves. And he had a multitude of 5,000 people besides the women and children. And he caused the small little remnants of food they had, he fed these masses until they were filled. Now, in those days, it wasn't like you just go to Walmart and just tank up. In those days, you ate what you could get until your next meal. But here, when Jesus put this spread out, I mean, they ate, the Bible describes it, to the full. They ate it until they just couldn't eat no more. And it says in John chapter 6, if you turn there, please, verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled, that is the fragments, the leftovers. They started with two small fish and five barley loaves. The leftovers filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed. Get that. He departed again into the mountain himself alone. Now, these people had just ate probably the biggest meal they had ate that year. They just gorged it down. And when they got done, they wanted to take Jesus, it says, by force, and we're going to force you. You're going to be our king, not because they wanted him to be our king. They wanted a king that would keep their bellies full. Ulterior motives. We seek him for the wrong reason. And Jesus' response was, he left them. He departed. They got their one meal and they missed the opportunity. They missed the opportunity. One thing, you don't have to make Jesus a king. He's always been the king. He's always been the king. But many times we can miss our opportunity. Since I've fumbled this ball enough times to tell you, when you enter in the prayer, the first 5-10 minutes of your prayer, just focus it on him, who he is. Just don't ask him for nothing. Just focus upon his marvels. Whatever that you know about him, whatever you know about his character, begin to focus upon his divine perfections. And ask him, Lord, open my eyes up more. I want to see you. That's what Moses asked him. God, let me see your glory. And God was not angry at Moses. He said, Moses, I'll show you, but I'm going to have to put you in the cleft of the rock because it's too much to show you all at once. And as I pass by, you can see my hinder parts. And once Moses saw God's glory from behind, God became more of a mystery than before, meaning that you never know it all. It means that you never, ever know it all because he is an infinite being and we are finite. And there's always something new and exciting to learn about him. See, if you just come to God and say, God, I want a new car, make it a Rolls Royce. Make it like a Blue Shadow. I want a nice one. And let's just say God gave you one. Within 1 year, it would be an old car. You wouldn't even hardly care about it anymore. But with God, when you seek him, every revelation is just overwhelming how good he is. So it says that he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And as you read on, you find that Jesus at night, he took shipping and he went over towards Capernaum. He went across the sea towards Capernaum. And it was the very next morning. It says in verse 25, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum. Here it is. They're seeking for Jesus. You would think they're seeking for Jesus. That's right. That's what he wanted. Not so much. They took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and the fish and were filled. Now he looked him right in the eye and said, you're seeking me for all the wrong reasons. For all the wrong reasons. You received a blessing and now you're looking for another blessing. You received the kindness of God and now you're looking for another kindness. But if you would just fall in love with him, the one who loved you before you were, you didn't even know he existed, and he watched over you. He made sure as a child that you didn't destroy yourself. He made sure through all your drugs and alcohol drinking that you didn't destroy yourself. He kept you. And though you may have gone through things like I've gone through things, he's kept you this whole time. And he didn't keep you just to drop you off right here, but he wants you to fall in love with him. How good does he have to be to get our love? What else can he possibly do for us to fall in love with him? He hung upon a cross. They put stakes through his wrists and through his ankles, and he hung there, and he died for us. What more can he do? For us to get our eyes past the blessing and to begin to look at the blesser. You see, I talked a moment ago about the man who won the lottery. If the young love interest that he found had any sense, she would realize there's always going to be another car. There's always going to be an adequate house. This is a good man. He's going to take care of me the rest of my life and would not focus on this thing, but focus on the man. Focus on Jesus Christ. Because when we act foolishly, and I don't want to use that term because sometimes it's just spiritual immaturity. We're not trying to do wrong. Sometimes it's just immaturity. But when we do that, many times it causes Jesus to take a step back until you realize who it is you're dealing with him. who you're dealing with. Paul in his later years, he wrote this. He said, man, I've got credentials. He said, I've got some of the best credentials in Judaism. He said, but all that I have, I do count it but dung, that I might win Christ and that I might know him, that I might know him. And Paul had the mindset you could put him in a dungeon and change him to a Roman guard and he would still write epistles that keep the whole church lit up. Not because he got blessed by Christ, but because he had Christ. He had the precious one. And all saints, we'll be such a stronger people if we could get our eyes off the junk. Get our eyes off the possessions. I look at our brother in Pakistan, Brother Michael. This man that just had an Islamic deal over there, persecution, he lost everything. Him and his children and his wife, they had to run for their very lives. He lost all of his household goods, all of the clothes, blankets. They lost everything. And so when we found out this ministry, we got up under him. We picked him up the best we could to get him clothes and blankets and get some things in the house to make their lives a little easier. And I looked on Instagram the other day, and what do I see? He just moved to a new city, new house, a few things in the house. And what do I see? He's got a gathering of Christians. They're all worshiping God. He's still preaching the gospel. Saints, if we don't get that in us, that strength, we ain't gonna make it on what's coming. We ain't gonna make it. See, we've been running with the footmen, but the horsemen are coming in now. And the Jordan is getting ready to swell, and we're going to have something in us if we're going to stand. So Jesus said, you didn't follow me because you were realizing I'm the miracle worker. It's not that they realized who he was. He said, you're following me. You got in that ship. You came all the way across over here to Capernaum because you ate the loaves and the fish, and you were filled, and you want more of that same thing. Ulterior motives. They were seeking Jesus, but they were seeking him for the wrong thing. Then finally, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, it says, and it came to pass when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and saying, I will, be thou clean. Now get this now. Jesus always wants to bless you. He always wants you healed. He always wants to let his goodness shower down upon you. We're not talking about Jesus being stingy with his blessings. That's not what we're preaching. We're preaching our right heart's attitude as we approach the master, that we show, Lord, I'm in love with you. Whether you bless me or not, I'm still going to be in love with you. Hallelujah. Whether I get what I'm praying about or not, I'm still going to be in love with you. Oh, saints, you don't know what a change that makes. There was a time my life wasn't so together as it is now, if that's what you call it. Sister Lincoln and I was married, but I was out of control because of the drugs. I was out of control. I hope I don't cry. But Sister Lincoln looked at me one time in my worst condition. She said, I know that you messed up right now, but I'm with you. I'm with you. And through that entire ordeal, she never shook. She never left. She should have kicked me out. I'll be honest with you. I should have came home and found my clothes outside. It never happened. And having gone through that whole ordeal, I now have something in my heart. I don't care if she gets sick and they have to cut off both arms and both legs. I'm with that sister. And when Jesus finds out that you love him for who he is and not just for what he can do, he's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. Jesus saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged the leper, don't tell nobody. See, many times when he said this, he didn't want his reputation as a healer to get around, or else people just came looking for healing. They didn't come looking for truth. Tell no man. But go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him by their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now get this, I want you to see what just happened. Luke is the only one that tells of this instance. It's not in any of the other synoptics or in John. A multitude came to Jesus. They came under the facade of wanting to hear his word, but the ulterior motive is I want to be healed because I heard you just healed that leper. And as a multitude stood in front of Jesus Christ wanting to be healed, he departed. He withdrew himself and did not heal a single person. There's no way in this passage do you find that. He didn't bless anyone. He didn't heal anyone because he's asking the question, what are you really seeking? What really are you after? This world that we live in is temporary. It's going away. Your house, your car, your job, your clothes, your hairstyles, your piercings, your tattoos, they're all going away. But Jesus will remain. And we're going to have to get our minds and our hearts off of all of this other stuff and seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Who is he? Who is he? I don't want to step into heaven after having lived for God 40, 50 years, ever how much time I have. And I step into heaven and I say, well, where's Jesus at? Oh, you just passed him. He was back there. You didn't recognize him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we just worship you. We just thank you this morning, Lord, that you've been merciful, compassionate, and Lord, that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us to at least some degree. Lord, we understand that it's the glory of God to hide a matter, and it's the honor of kings to seek it out. And today, Lord, we'd ask you that you would lay convictions upon our hearts as we approach you in prayer. As we come to the throne of grace, oh God, help us to come seeking to understand you, to know you. As Paul said, Lord, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. God, change our prayer lives. Change our approach. Change the way that we move in your presence. God, that we might seek primarily above everything to know you. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I don't know where you are in regard to this message, but I do know this. You're going to have to, just like myself, get a deeper hold on to Jesus Christ because the storm is coming. The storm clouds are brewing and the storm is coming. And we're going to have to know a whole lot more than we know right now. Come on, let's just reach out to the Lord. Father, I want to know you. God, lay your convictions on my heart that I stop looking for this answer, that answer, this blessing, that blessing. And that I begin to look to you alone that I might know you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord today. Just reach out.
Hallelujah. We thank you so much. You love us, Lord God, and that we can receive you. We can call on the name of Jesus. We can be saved, become children of God. We want you, not just the blessings, not just the things, but we want to know you. God, we cry out from our heart, let us know you more, Lord God. Let us see you. Let us know you from the heart. God, we surrender our lives to you. Have your way in our lives, in our homes, in our families, Lord God. We love you. We seek you. We turn from this world and seeking the things of this world. We just really just only want you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for the word this morning, Lord God, and what you're doing in our lives. Hallelujah. We give you the glory. We acknowledge you and give you the praise for all the good that is in our lives. To the glory of Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a good word this morning. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. That was awesome. Bless the Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, we're going to keep preaching the word. So keep coming back. Amen. We have, this week we have laity service, which is when members of the laity minister, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., so you can come out and enjoy a wonderful night of laity. And then, of course, we'll see you next Sunday, so please come back. Anything else? Oh, yeah, if you haven't given, don't forget to give. You can worship in giving. There's lots of ways to do so on the screen, so we appreciate all those that help us get this gospel out to the world. With that, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.